Yashodanandana bhajjana ranjana Jamuna tira vanachari Jamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashodanandana Brajjana Ranjana Yashodanandana Brajjana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Sri Madhis Divine Grace Abhoy Charna Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shridvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhattavani Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopadan Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavandam Ki Jaya Shri Gangamai Ki Jaya Shri Jamanamai Ki Jaya Shri Matakrishi Devi Narayana Ki Jaya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmana Shingadev Ki Jai, Iskan Noor Amanrati Dham Ki Jai, Tegaur Premanande, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gauran Balaram. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, text 19. Sa yesha atma mavatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavyalike rajasankara dibir. Vitarkya lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Saisha atma mavatam dadishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavyalike rajasankara dibir. Vitarka lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Saisha atma avatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavyalike rajasankara dibir. Vitarkya lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Please chant. Saisha atma mavatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavalike rajasankara dibir. Vitarka lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Saisha atma gatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavyalike rajasankara dibir. Vitarka lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Saisha atma vatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavyalike rajasankara dibir. Vatarka lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Mutters. Saisha atma vatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatavalike rajasankara dibir. Vitarkya lingo Bhagavan prasidatam. Saisha atma vatam adishvaras. Trai mayo dharma mayas tapo maya. Gatajalika Rajasankara Divir Britar Kalingo Bhagavan Prasidatam. Word for word. Saha, he. Isha, it is. Atma, the super soul. Atmavatam, of the self-realized souls. Adishvaraha, the Supreme Lord. Trayimaya, personified Vedas. Dharmamaya, personified religious scripture. Tapamaya, personified austerity. Gatavyalikai, by those who are above all pretensions. Aja, Brahmaji. Shankara Adibi, by Lord Shiva and others. Vitarkyalinga, one who is observed with awe and veneration. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Prasidatam, be kind toward me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. Translation. He is the super soul and the supreme lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures, and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute be pleased with me. Purport.
Just a question. Is that readable? Everybody can know? Or is it too small?
Okay. So purport. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, although the Lord of all followers of different paths of self-realization, is noble only by those who are above all pretensions. Everyone is searching for eternal peace or eternal life, and with an aim to this destination, everyone is either studying the Vedic scriptures or other religious scriptures, or undergoing severe austerity as empiric philosophers, as mystic yogis, or as unalloyed devotees, etc. But the Supreme Lord is perfectly realized only by the devotees because they are above all pretensions. Those who are on the path of self-realization are generally classified as karmis, gyanis, yogis, or devotees of the Lord. The karmis, who are much attracted by the fruitive activities of the Vedic rituals, are called bhukti kami, or those who desire material enjoyment. The gyanis, who try to become one with the Supreme by mental speculation, are called mukti kami, or those who desire liberation from material existence. The mystic yogis, who practice different types of austerities for attainment of 8 kinds of material perfection and who ultimately meet the super soul Paramatma in trance, is called Siddhikami, or those who desire the perfection of becoming finer than the finest, becoming heavier than the heaviest, getting everything desired, having control over everyone, creating everything like, etc. All these are abilities of a powerful yogi, but the devotees of the Lord do not want anything like that for self-satisfaction. They want only to serve the Lord because the Lord is great, and as living entities, they are eternally subordinate parts and parcels of the Lord. This perfect realization of the self by the devotee helps him to become desireless, to desire nothing for his personal self, and thus the devotees are called nishkami, without any desire. A living entity, by his constitutional position, cannot be void of all desires. The Bhukti-kami, Mukti-kami, and Siddhi-kami all desire something for personal satisfaction. But the Nishkami devotees of the Lord desire everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. They are completely dependent on the orders of the Lord and are always ready to discharge their duty for the satisfaction of the Lord. In the beginning, Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desire self-satisfaction, for he desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but to make him desireless, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and also Bhakti Yoga were explained. Because Arjuna was without any pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight. Karishe Vachadam Tava. And thus he became desireless. The examples of Brahma and Lord Shiva are specifically cited here because Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Srimati Lakshmiji, and the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, etc., are leaders of the four desireless Vaishnava Sampradayas. They are all freed from all pretensions. Srila Jiva Goswami interprets the word Gata Vyalikai as Projita Kaitava, or those who are freed from all pretensions, the unalloyed devotees only. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjha 19.149, it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atta Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddha Kami Shakaliya Shanta. Those who are after fruitive results for their pious activities, those who desire salvation and identity with the Supreme, and those who desire material perfections of mystic power are all restless because they want something for themselves. But the devotee is completely peaceful because he has no demand for himself and is always ready to serve the desire of the Lord. The conclusion is, therefore, that the Lord is for everyone because no one can achieve the result of his respective desires without his sanction. But as stated by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 8.9, all such results are awarded by him only, for the Lord is Adishwara, the original controller of everyone, namely the Vedantists, the great Karma Kandiyas, the great religious leaders, the great performers of austerity, and all who are striving for spiritual advancement. But ultimately, he is realized by the pretensionless devotees only. Therefore, special stress is given to the devotional service of the Lord by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Nimittam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Vishnu Tishuva Vagar Pavitra Mayu Shri Shri Vindata Vihira Padapatanka Jairani Prabhupada Nagara Namah Shri Vagari Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Vishnu Tibhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachayana Nivisheshi Samitadi Tatsa Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada said that when Krishna was here, only a few hundred people knew him to be the personality of Godhead. But so when Krishna left, it appears to be a disadvantage for who remained behind. But he did something very wonderful, that after his disappearance, he allowed this beautiful Bhagavatam to arise. It's like the sunshine or the rising moon. And this Bhagavatam gives a very clear description as to who the personality of Godhead is. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he made this Bhagavatam available to all of us all over the planet. Initially, it was so difficult to get access, like when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to get a copy, he had to search for 8 years before he could have gotten a copy. But here, now in every library, anywhere you go, you can find the Bhagavatam, so it's so accessible. So, what Krishna did, he allows his Bhagavatam to manifest and to teach us step by step how to understand him, how to understand his personality, and thus how to develop love for him. And this manifestation here of the appearance of Sukadev Goswami and the situation with Maharaj Parikshit allows this opportunity to manifest. So right from the end of the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami. He asked two questions. One, how should one live? What he should do? Who he should worship? Who he should remember? And so forth. And then the second question, what is the duty of one who is about to die? What duties he should perform, who he should remember, who he should worship, what he should do. So from the very beginning of this second canto, Sukadev Goswami is starting to answer those questions. So the first question he answered in Srimad Bhagavatam 215, if it's practical to put it up there. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Srotavya Krititavyascha Smartavyas Chetatabhayam. Translation: O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul, the controller, and the savior from all miseries. So right from the beginning, Sukadev Goswami is establishing this fact that here is what one should do with his life. This is what is important. This is what is necessary. This is the only thing to achieve success. And then in this, the next verse, the verse 6, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Bhyam Swa Dharma Parinishchaya Janma Labha Param Para Pushpam Antanarayana Smriti. That the highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. So here he's answering the second question. At one, what one should do at the end of one's life. So, not only that Krishna is giving, this beautiful Bhagavatam is giving, how one should live in this world, but also how one should leave this world, what one should do at a time of death, how one should leave. So this is the training program, how we can live in this material world and how we can leave this material world. So these two questions have been answered in verses 5 and 6. And then also in the, again in the second chapter, verse 33, Sukadev Goswami further explains that who should perform devotional service. So, and how this is to be done. So verse 33 says, Najosha Najota Tanu Ruhani Mahi Ruha Vishva Tanur Nuprendra Ananta Virya Shavishitam Matar Visha Gatir Vaya Karma Guna Pravaha. Translation: O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body. The trees and are the hairs of the body, and the omnipotent air is the breath. The passing ages are the, okay. This is the wrong verse. Sorry. So it's chapter 2. So it's chapter 2, text 33, rather. So, for those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at the direct devotional service of the Lord. So, here again, Sukadeva Goswami is stressing the same point, that this is the duty of one, that this is how one should perform and maintain one's life in this material world, by the devotional service of the Lord, by the remembering of the Lord. And then the very next verse, Lord Brahma is also confirming. So this is 2.234. Bhagavan Brahma Kartsneya Trir Anviksha Manishaya Tad Adya Vashita Kutashto Ratir Atma Myatoba Vet. Translation: the great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas 3 times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. So here Brahma himself is saying, and what he did, he scrutinizingly studied the Vedic scriptures, not once, not twice, but thrice. How much of us here have scrutinizingly studied the scriptures by keeping our hands down? So, yes, so everyone has studied the scriptures, that every one of us have studied the Vedic scriptures, because everyone kept their hands down, right? So, Srila Prabhupada said, however, that devotees, it should be understood that devotees have gone through all these rituals, they've studied all these Vedic scriptures, and that's how they came to the point of devotional service. So it's not a trick that I asked that question just now. It's an established fact that devotees are sitting here or probably listening or wherever they are because they have studied these Vedic scriptures, even in this lifetime or in previous lifetime. They have studied thoroughly and they are able to come to this conclusion that devotional service is the only path to go. So here in this first, the first part of the Bhagavatam, in this second canto, when Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit are sitting here in a very precarious situation. It's an urgent situation that Maharaj Parikshit has been cursed to die in 7 days. So his life is very limited. He has very, very limited time. And what he's asking, what he's asking in this chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, that please explain to me the process of creation. Now one would say, why would he ask that? That he could have said, oh, please tell me about the pastimes of the Lord. Tell me about the loving relationship, all these intimate pastimes of the Lord, because my time is very limited, that I want to get to the top. But no, he's very patiently asking, first of all, about the process of creation. So in the second canto, in the 10th chapter, which we are coming to shortly, verse 1, so let's go to that one and see why Maharaj Parikshit is asking this question. So let's see, 2.10.1. Let's, Yes, so here Sukadeva Goswami is saying, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the samambonam. So the very first is the creation of the universe. So here Sukadeva Goswami is answering to Maharaj Parikshit. So first Maharaj Parikshit is asking about the creation. And so from there, he's gradually stepping up, going up to reach the 10th canto to understand these subject matters as to the qualities, activities, and everything about the personality of Godhead. Because without knowing someone, we cannot appreciate, we don't know how to love them. So Maharaj Parikshit is setting this pace here. He's giving this teaching to us pretty much. He's asking these questions in a systematic way for our benefit, so that we can learn not to jump to conclusions, but to systematically learn about the personality of Godhead and how to engage in devotional service, how to bring us into the highest standard by the end of our stay here. So this is the aim of Srila Prabhupada. That Srila Prabhupada, as we know, he had very limited time, just a few years, and he was already of age. And that's when, within that 12-year span, he was traveling profusely, circled the globe 14 times. He was writing, he was establishing centers, he was guiding his disciples and followers. And yet, Srila Prabhupada didn't just say, well, okay, forget about the rest of the Bhagavatam, just take the 10th canto. The time is limited, just take that, or life is very short, and go. No. Of course, he gave the Krishna book in the summary form, but he systematically wrote the Bhagavatam from the first canto and going up. So all of that tells us that our process is to gradually understand, and by engaging in the process of devotional service, understanding the Lord step by step, we would develop the proper understanding, we would develop the proper mood, the proper surrender, and thus able to achieve the highest benefits. So throughout here, from the beginning of this second canto, Sukadeva Goswami is repeating these points, as all these references we have brought about here, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be remembered, is to be worshipped, is to be served, and is to be glorified. So that actually brings us to the introduction to today's verse, that throughout this verse here and the string of verses, the same thing that Sukadeva Goswami is doing. At the beginning of this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit asks, please explain to me the process of creation. But what is Sukadeva Goswami doing in the rest of this chapter? Every verse, he's glorifying the personality of Godhead. So, and this verse today is one of those verses that he's so expertly glorifying the Lord. So this is a system of understanding Krishna Katha. By worshipping, by glorifying, and in particular here, this verse today is saying that we should be without pretension. So this is the difference. So in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is in his purport, is very elaborately explaining this point to mark the difference, because all the time Sukadeva Goswami was talking about, you know, he's glorifying the Lord and described that the step to Krishna consciousness is to glorify the Lord. So now he's explaining that all these different paths are actually leading, and all these different paths are what yogis and devotees use to go towards the Lord. But out of these four that is mentioned here, the Bhuktikamis, the Muktikamis, the Siddhakamis, and the Nishkamis, so these four, all three of them are considered pretentious. And the reason why they're pretentious is because they want something for themselves, that they're approaching the Lord with a personal motive. Like the Bhuktikamis, they perform fruitive activities, they perform a lot of rituals with a result, with the expectation of getting fruitive activities to get something material for themselves. So these are the Bhuktikamis. Then you have the next step, the Muktikamis, who are the renunciants. They are renouncing these things material, but what is their desire? That they become one with the Lord. So that's also a desire, that they want to become one with the Lord, they want to merge with the Lord, to become one, to become like Him. They want to just be just like the Lord. So that's also a personal desire. And then you have the Siddhikamis, who are the yogis who meditate on the Paramatma feature of the Lord, and they also want to develop the different siddhis. So they want to become lighter than air, heavier than a mountain, smaller than the smallest, larger than the largest, and to control everyone, as Srila Prabhupada is vividly describing here. They want to be able to control everyone. They want to be able to have this mystic super quality. So again, this is something that what they're asking for themselves. They're not offering anything to the Lord. They're asking, they're taking. You know, they're all, so these three categories are all in this pretentious category, that they are looking for something for themselves. But the devotee, as Nishkamish, Nishkama Bhaktas, they have no personal motive. They are not asking for anything for their own satisfaction, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here. But their only motive is to serve the Lord, to give Him satisfaction. And whatever austerities they have to perform, they don't mind it at all. Whatever they have to do, their only motive, their only desire is to be desireless, is to give everything to the service of the Lord. And in that way, when one does that, then Krishna reciprocates by giving them the proper understanding, showing them the right path, giving them the proper mood of how one can advance, how one can be absorbed in His consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. So this is the difference between the three of these three kamis on one side and the devotee, the nishkami, on the other side. So this is very important here, that when one wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord, instead of his own desire, then that is called Nishkami Bhakti. I know Janmashtami Prabhu always talks about it. Almost every class I heard from him, he would talk about that, or every comment he would mention something about that. So this point is very important. And the example is given here with Arjuna, very vivid, that originally Arjuna, you know, he had his personal desire that, oh, I will not fight. I want to create peace. I'm not going to kill my fellow, you know, relatives and my fellow soldiers and so many people, all my loved ones. No, I'm not going to fight. So when Krishna analyzed it, and Arjuna realized that wasn't the most righteous act. Of course, Arjuna had arguments that from a layman's point of view, everyone would think, yes, that's very good, that we're not going to kill, we're not going to, you know, shed so much blood. But when finally analyzed, Krishna proved to Arjuna that you are having personal desires. So therefore, you're not in the category of the Nishkama Bhakti or the Nishkami, but you are in the category of the Kamis, that you have your own desire separate from mine. So after Krishna instructed him in Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and all these different yoga processes, and also Bhakti Yoga, then Arjuna changed his desires. He transcended pretension, and he accepted Krishna's desire as topmost. So that's the example that is given here. So when he does that, then he teaches us that one should approach the Guru and the Vedic scripture in neutrality. Sometimes I run into people who would have a conclusion, and then they would search in the scripture or search in a guru to find that conclusion that they have. So Prabhupada termed that to have the cart in front of the donkey, or the cart in front of the horse. You come into a conclusion, then you're searching for supporting elements to support that conclusion. But no, a devotee should be the other way around, that you're completely neutral, you're completely innocent, have no conclusions, and you honestly search, you honestly inquire from the guru, from the scriptures, to get that proper conclusion. And when one does that, then because the heart is neutral and the heart is open, then you allow Guru and Krishna to reside there. So also there's another example cited here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majja 19.149. In this purport it says, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atta Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kame Shakaliya Shanta. Those who are after fruitive results for their pious activities, those who desire salvation and identity with the Supreme, and those who desire material perfections of mystic power are all restless because they want something for themselves. But the devotee is completely peaceful because he has no demand for himself and is always ready to serve the desire of the Lord. So, therefore, the same thing is explained here. So the conclusion is that everyone should look to achieve this supreme result. And to achieve this supreme result means that one should try to be desireless, try to be without pretension, and engage in devotional service. So it's actually described that when one engages in devotional service, he's actually without pretensions, even though they might do so on a neophyte level or an advanced level. But the mere fact that one engages in devotional service is the indication that he wants to go on the right path, that he wants to go on the achieve the right understanding of the personality of Godhead. So to do that, also there are tests that one actually passes through to see if one really wants this. So once there was a story, I'll tell two stories and stop. So once there was a story of a young mother. She had two children. One was about 7 years old and the other was a baby, a few months old. And the husband goes to work, so she has to cook and clean the house, take care. And then the baby is hungry, so the baby is crying. So she has to cook, she has to do so much, plus she has to attend to the baby. Husband is not there, husband gone to work. So I saw Shama Darshini is smiling. She understands what I'm talking about. She's having present experience. So the baby is crying, the baby is hungry. So the mother thought, she told the 7-year-old boy, go next door to the store and buy this toy. So the kid ran over, bought the toy, and she put the baby in the crib, hang the toy over, you know you do that, hang a toy. And then the baby saw the toy and he got distracted from his hunger and he started playing, laughing and slapping the toy. kicking, slapping, playing. The mother went back and she was doing her work. So the baby is playing. Then afterwards, after a little while, it remembered that, oh, he's hungry. So he starts crying again. So he starts crying. The mother told the brother, just go and shake that toy again. So he shake the toy. The baby got distracted, started slapping the toy, playing. In the meanwhile, the mom is cooking. On the other hand, now the baby is getting really hungry. So the baby look at the toy and close his eyes, doesn't want to play with the toy. He starts kicking and screaming really loud. Now he's really crying. Well, forget about the toy, forget about all everything else. I want my mom, I'm hungry now. So at that point, the mom said, okay, I have to stop what I'm doing and go and feed the baby. So like that, in this material world, we're looking for devotional service, but then so much things are coming in our way that we're becoming distracted. So we will start devotional service, we think about the Lord, then we go ahead and allow ourselves to become distracted by the material fantasies of this world. And then we would remember that, okay, we have to cry for the Lord. Like Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, once some persons approached him and asked, Maharaj, how can we get Krishna? And Vamsidas Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj, said only one word. He said, cry. So he's saying that the only way we can achieve is that we have to cry for the Lord. So there, this baby was really crying. He wasn't pretentious anymore. He wasn't crying and stopping and get distracted. No, constantly crying. No, I want, I want, I want. So like that, the devotee has to go in that direction. That no, I won't allow anything to distract me, but I want to go straight. I want to achieve the Lord. And when the Lord give all these tests and see that this devotee is really serious, then he comes forward. Because one problem that Krishna has is that he made a promise that whoever becomes his devotee, he gets sold out to them. He becomes their servant. So if he's sold out to anyone who is not a devotee, then there are going to be problems. So Krishna makes sure that we really want devotional service before he fully gives himself to us. So the second story I want to tell is it appears in Ancha Lila, chapter 5, whereby that's when Lord Chaitanya was staying at Jagannath Puri, and there was one Bengali poet. He was there, and he composed a very wonderful in his mind that he composed a very wonderful poem about Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. So he was friends with one of the devotees, Bhagwan Acharya, and he wanted Bhagwan Acharya to approach Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who is Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya, that any information has to pass through him to be sanctioned that is authentic, and he's not going to waste Lord Chaitanya's time and energy before he presents it. So Bhagwan Acharya approached Swarup Damodar and says, please listen to this poem that is very beautiful. And the very first thing that Swarup Damodar Goswami says, he says, he is not a devotee, and therefore he does not understand devotional service. So I'm sure what he has written would not be in the Vaishnava conclusion. From the very first step, he understands. So you can see it. Ancha Lila 5, chapter 5, text 114. It goes on from there towards the end of the chapter. So we're not going to go it through because of the interest of time. So Bhagwan Acharya was pleading to Swarup Damodar Maharaj that, yes, the poem is very nice. Several devotees have also agreed. They have read his poem, listened to it, his recitation, and it is very wonderful. And so after 3 days, Swarup Damodar Goswami decided, okay, I'll accept. Let's Let us bring him and let's hear his recitation. So he said, call that Bengali poet in and let him recite. So the Bengali poet came in and he started his recitation that, oh Lord Jagannath, you are a beautiful material body, and Lord Chaitanya, you are the owner of that body. So immediately some of the devotees said, oh, that's very wonderful. But Swarup Damodar Maharaj got very angry. He said, you're such an offender that you're comparing Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya to the material body and the Jivatma, the spirit soul, the ordinary spirit soul. That you're saying that Lord Jagannath is a material body and Lord Chaitanya is the owner of that body, just like we say that we own this body, this is my body. That you have no knowledge, you have no understanding. And he started chastising him. And then he started instructed. So in verse 133 of the same Ancha chapter 5, Swarup Damodar Goswami is telling him, he said, just approach the devotees, just practice devotional service. And that way you would get the right understanding and you would know how to compose your poets, your poems. So this is the one, the expertise of a devotee, that he would always wrap it up with and some nice icing on the cake to form whatever they're doing, to put some icing on the cake to bring them around to devotional service. So this poet, he wasn't a devotee, but he's into poetry. So Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj invites him to take up the devotional service, and then you would understand how to write your poetries. Then you can write your poetries nicely. So because only by devotional service can you get the proper understanding, only by that can you understand the intricacies of the Lord and the pastimes of Lord Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again, the point is that devotional service is transcendental to all pretensions. And that is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. With all, it's only the first of the 10 topics that are discussed in the Bhagavatam, but the conclusion is the same. Maharaj Parikshit is asking only about creation here, but Sukadev Goswami, as he would continue in the further on to explain about creation, he's giving him the right understanding from the beginning that this is the attitude you're supposed to have. This should be your understanding. And once you have this understanding, then you would be able to understand. Once you have this conclusion, once you have this mindset to understand that the purpose of life is to glorify, remember, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead only, then everything else would be correct. So I would stop here. If anyone has any questions, Mother Narayani, then Mother Sukada. The microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna. I'm thinking of the example, the story you were giving regarding crying.
Yeah.
You know, for Krishna. And I'm thinking often we hear that example, Srila Prabhupada talks about, that is the mood that we would chant our japa in. So I'm thinking of new people that I meet at the temple. Mm. And if a new person has read some of these examples and they are seeking something different, they have reached a point where they are experiencing some dissatisfaction in their material life, but very early on this path of wondering whether what we are offering is relevant in their lives. So if we are trying to explain to a new person this concept of chanting japa is like crying to your mother, we're crying out. How would you explain to a new person, because obviously that there is a gap. Many of us who have been devotees for a few minutes, a few years, we are still working to experience that kind of connection, you know, that crying out. So for a new person who is trying and who is curious and who is eager to start that transition, but maybe that seems a little far-fetched to them, you know, when you're changing your job or you're crying out. How would you explain that to a new person?
Yeah, why are you trying to embarrass me in public here? You know I don't know how to preach.
So, no, but what would be, would you share in terms of your realization, even if you
It all depends on the expertise of the devotee. Like Srila Prabhupada says that the devotee is the intervening principle between a non-devotee's life and a devotee's life, or of spirituality. That, and we are the intervening principle. That the way we present it, how we present it, can make or break those persons. So we have to learn, and that's why we're having Bhagavatam classes every day, we're having so much training programs every day throughout, to learn how to not only to say the truth, but how to present the truth in a palatable way. Srila Prabhupada used to say palatable truth. So the way I would approach is that if they understand a concept, first of all, I won't directly go to that. I would, like in my experience doing Sankirtan, I would always approach them and said, hey, you know, first of all, try to get them to be friendly, try to get them to understand that there is something higher out there than what you're experiencing physically in the material world. And one has to learn how to switch that desire from one to the next. And even if one has a material desire, that according to the scripture, just like the doctor would say, don't try to give up your disease before you take the medicine. No, you take the medicine, follow some regulations, and then the disease would gradually go away. So just like the example is there with Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather's, greater than Lord Brahma. That was his passion, he had a desire. But he was directed by his spiritual master, Narad Muni, that worship Lord Vishnu. So Narad didn't say to give up these desires. He said, no, just worship Lord Vishnu. And when Dhruva Maharaj became qualified, then he presented that very, very beautiful verse, that very beautiful purport, that I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but now I have found the most wonderful gem. So when Lord Vishnu did appear in front of him to satisfy his desires, he said, no, I have no desire that I want it. I don't want anything. So the idea is that whatever condition one is in, we encourage them to chant Hare Krishna and to develop that desire. And as they start coming along, we teach them how to go to the next step, how to cry for Krishna. Of course, we have to teach ourselves first how to cry for Krishna. And Satru Maharaj explains this, that if we cannot cry for Krishna, then we have to cry that we cannot cry for Krishna. And if we cannot cry that we cannot cry for Krishna, then we have to cry that we cannot cry that we cannot cry for Krishna. So like that, the process goes along. So but with these persons, we simply encourage them to just come and join this path. You know, just come and join. Forget about what you're doing. Don't worry about trying to make so many changes, but just come and join. Like Srila Prabhupada, what he did with Shyamasundara Prabhu in San Francisco when he was carving the first Jagannath deity. Srila Prabhupada came in the room and saw he had his pack of cigarette on Jagannath's head. And Srila Prabhupada took his cane and whacked it across the room. And he said, you should, you know, learn to change his habits. Then Prabhupada told him the next day, he said, try to smoke one less cigarette per day or per week, something like that. He didn't tell him to, now you have to stop it immediately. He gradually encouraged him and said, okay, you gradually go. So like that, we have to encourage, and a one-on-one, especially like your service, what you're doing, greeting guests, is such an important thing. Like we were talking the other day, that's what actually made me a devotee, because someone spent that time, and I had all sorts of weird desires. You don't want to hear them. But they were very patient, and they were encouraging. Okay, continue whatever desires you have in mind, but just take this up. And then as we study, we go more, we learn, okay, we should have a desire to serve. Then afterwards, now I'm thinking, okay, we should learn to cry for Krishna. And gradually, you know, the process goes on. So I don't know if that answers.
Thank you, Guru.
Thank you. Mother Sukada? Yeah, okay.
I appreciate what you just said now about the devotee just being such an important part of the process when new people come.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when I know for myself, when I saw the joy that the devotees had in their lives, you know, just following the process, that's really, it was so convincing, you know, because you observe throughout your life, you know, people working and interacting with some of the ways, but I'd never seen people just so simple and happy. So that's one thing. And I also was grateful that you met, I never knew that about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he took him 8 years to get a Bhagavatam.
Yeah, it took a long time to.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah, because, you know, it wasn't like available, so readily available like how we are.
I was thinking, due to Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it's like so, as you mentioned, so available. Even, I remember, you know, in the airports, we would be giving out, a new Bhagavatam would come out, or there'd be extra Bhagavatams. We'd just be giving them out at the airport. You know, fifth canto, tenth canto, didn't matter. We'd just distribute them to people. And Prishkar Prabhu was even saying that there was a devotee in Mahotsava, that he did $16,000 worth of books in one day. So Lord Chaitanya's mercy is really...
really going out there.
It's really flooding.
And but it doesn't go by itself. It's the devotees that makes it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the one other point was that, you know, it seems that in the beginning, at least, that, you know, devotees, they come, you know, we come, but we do have a personal desire, whatever it might be, you know, to, you know, distressed, a desire of wealth, you know, inquisitive, searching after the absolute truth, but, you know, to end our suffering, right? That's kind of a personal desire, isn't it?
Yeah, but when it's connected with Krishna,
yeah,
when it's in line with Krishna's desire, is described to be desireless.
Or
we can say, it's
gradually
transcendental, so... because we're living entities, we cannot be without desires.
Mm-hmm.
But we can have material desires or spiritual desires. Just like the devotees addressed also as nirguna, without material qualities. You know, they would have qualities, but it's not going to be material. We would have desires, but it's not going to be material desires. Or even if it appears to be material desires, if you analyze it, that desire is to foster and to serve the personality of Godhead, then that's a spiritual desire, because it's for that purpose. And because we're individual, we would want to do so in different ways. We would all want to serve the Lord in different ways, because we're individual, we're not impersonalist. We're personalist. And we would, in different qualities we have, we would want to serve in that way. So okay, yeah, thank you very much. So, is there anything else, Mother Ragapnika?
Let's see if I can remember. In the beginning of the class, you said it's understood that we have all studied the Vedas or the scriptures in our previous life or something, or we wouldn't be here, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Yesterday I heard a Prabhupada memory wherein, was it the devotee that said, we should read your books, we should read the Bhagavatam regularly. And he says, and Prabhupada said, no, don't just read it, study it. And he said that every word is so important. You must study my books. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then on this point of pretension, I'm, you know, this word, how often do we come across that in Prabhupada's books? So I'm trying to understand, what does he mean by this? But then as you were discussing this, I get it that pretend is there. Mm. Like we may put on that we really want to serve you, Krishna, but boy, are we easily diverted or distracted, you know. And, you know, we make our choices every day, every moment of the day. So how much are we just pretending that we are really wanting only Krishna and pleasing Krishna?
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
That's why I give that example of the baby and the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, approaching people. You know, when I'm on Harinam, I practically every person at the end, I get them to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with me. You know, I show them the words and let's say this together. It's especially those who, after have been talked with them a bit, or they show favor, you know. So then they ask me, what does that mean? So then I say, we're asking, oh Lord, please engage me in your service. Please use me as your instrument in this world. And then I explain, you know, if we can align our plans, our life, with God's plan for us, and pray to know what that is, then we'll be successful in life. You know. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much for those comments. You know, that's very wonderful observations.
I was
Pran Govinda Prabhu. Yeah.
I was thinking. Chavan Rishi Maharaj.
Okay.
He was a Prabhupada sannyas. He used to live Wilston. He passed away a couple years back, I think. He mentioned me once, pastimes of Prabhupada morning walk in Mauritius, where he didn't go to temple, but he gave a class under the tree. So in relevant to the desire, I was thinking we can apply that way. Like,
yeah.
In that class he said, so if you want to study on your own, that is jnana. But you want to follow your guru's instruction, you study, that time it is bhakti. So there is a very subtle difference. When I am on my own studying the thing, it is jnana. But when I am following my guru's instruction, then it is bhakti. But the subject matter is same, but one is under guidance, one is not. So I was thinking similar, if I want to have a desire to get liberation, then it will be not pure bhakti. But Prabhupada wants us to go back home, back to God, then it will be pure bhakti, part of pure bhakti. Make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So the whole object is to be in the state of dependence.
Yeah.
If one tries to study on his own, he can easily think, well, okay, I'm going to do this on my own, be independent. And that becomes the problem. So even within Krishna consciousness, like what Srila Prabhupada wrote here of the category of being non-pretentious, he put that all devotees in that category, or everyone in devotional services in the category of not being pretentious. But what we are doing in this class, we broke that down. We broke it down even among devotees. Are we really pretentious or not pretentious? So that's how our discussion kind of, spread a little bit. So So yeah, it's at every step, because Krishna didn't say study my books and then go back to Godhead. No, he said, you know. Yeah, and
study my this knowledge, you will get my nature.
Yeah, but he also says in 4:34, tad vini padim patene paripashnina seva, yeah. Upadex gyani tag te gyanam gyani nastato darshina. So just learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Surrender and serve him, worship him, and like that we would develop. So knowledge would be there, but realization unnecessary. So by studying what you quoted, you develop his nature. But developing Krishna's nature not necessarily means surrender unto him.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I was thinking on that past time. It's kind of late. But
yeah, it's kind of stretching over time.
The past time that you mentioned.
Anjalila.
Yeah.
Bhagavan Acharya is eternal associate. How come he could not catch? This is a wrong conclusion from his brother. His own brother, Gopal Acharya, who brought this. He's from Benaras. He's a Bengali, but he's from Benaras. But I was wondering why Bhagavan Acharya, being eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, there's no difference between Swarup Damodar, who is also eternal associate, and Bhagavan Acharya. But one could detect something wrong, one could not detect. How is this? Yeah. It must be something.
Something there for one is to help in the Lord's pastimes, to help to establish the tattva of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, and it brings about the sweetness of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It makes us want to learn more. It makes us want to, you know, to follow the path, go through all the different curves and angles. If not, it would just be too dry, and we won't be attractive. Yeah, okay.
Lesson for us to follow, like, through the past time. It's a
you want to take a microphone?
No, I'm just elaborating on that. It's a lesson for us.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, because, like, I'm pretty sure one like Bhagavan Acharya, as you explained, such an advanced devotee, he knows all of this. Right. The Arjuna, such an advanced devotee, why he is placed in this delusion. Maharaj Parikshit, Srila Prabhupada described that he could have been speaking the Bhagavatam also. He's so qualified. But these things are there for us. And these devotees are placed in that position for us. In this apparent suffering or whatever the case may be. So ultimately it's the Lord's transcendental desires and pastimes to give us the opportunity to make it so available, to make this Bhagavatam so profound and conclusive, and give us this one-pointed attention. So give us this one-pointed intelligence. Bhagavad Gita 2:41. Vyavaya Atmika Buddhir. And this one-pointed attention. So anyway, so thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.